list of dinner parties throughout history that went off the rails. Surely today's banquet thrown by King Herod in honor of himself is on that list. Because at the end of the banquet, the head of John the Baptist ends up on platter on Herod's orders. And what's worse, Mark's gospel tells us that Herod, quote, liked to listen to John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. Boy, with an objection like that. Herod's beheading of John was at the request of Herod's stepdaughter and her cruel and vengeful mother, Herodias. When Herod hears the girl's request for John's head, the gospel says, quote, the king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. So it's not even that Herod orders John's execution out of hatred, but rather because he fears being embarrassed in front of his dinner guests if he doesn't do so. This has all ended very badly. And as is usually the case with things that end badly, it helps to look at the way things began. Now, dinner parties have probably been around since some Neanderthals first took a woolly mammoth that was too big for them to consume in one sitting, and they invited over the folks from the neighboring cave. But probably before too long, three different types of dinner parties arose with three distinct motivations. One distinct type of party is the one we see in today's gospel reading from Mark. This is what we might call an aspirational dinner party. We hear in verse 21 this morning, Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. This should tell us all we need to know about Herod throwing this party for himself. He invited courtiers, officers, and leaders. He didn't invite friends. He invited people with whom he wanted to curry favor. This is a type of dinner party that Jesus explicitly condemns in the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, where he says in verse 12, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. Herod is in search of personal gain with this celebration. He's seeking to bolster his own pride, and it's his pride that prevents him from refusing his stepdaughter's murderous command. But it all began because Herod was seeking something he shouldn't have lusted after in the first place, the loyalty of the rich and powerful. The motivation to improve or shore up our status can direct our behavior in all kinds of ways, not just in who we invite to our own birthday party. In all aspects of our lives, we need to search our hearts to see if what's motivating our actions is the seeking after power or prestige or status, and realize that those motivations lead us away from the life God wants for us. Perhaps the best biblical example of the second type of dinner party is the occasion of Jesus' first miracle, and that is
wedding.
That was good. Somebody in the choir, many people in the choir. Yeah, and some of you too. Wedding in Galilee. Yes. The choir members just said they like wine. Of course, that's a miracle where Jesus turns water into wine. So this is likely the most common type of dinner party, not because the dinner party guests end up with that free wine. That would be a very popular dinner guest indeed. Setting aside that miracle, by all evidence, the wedding in Cana is a celebration where the guests are friends of the couple with their families. There's no suggestion that Jesus was invited because he was a prominent figure in society. After all, he hadn't performed a single miracle yet. This was a celebration, a joyful event among friends and family. There's nothing wrong, and indeed much that is right, with inviting guests to such a party so as to bring our friends joy. Pope Francis himself, in his apostolic exhortation of 2 years ago, titled Amoris Laetitia, said, the most intense joys in life arise when you are able to elicit joy in others as a foretaste of heaven. Invitations to parties that seek to elicit joy in others rather than aiming to curry favor or bring about future invitations for yourself are life-giving and life-affirming occasions. But there's a third type of dinner party that Jesus tells us is even better. That is when you invite someone who never expected to be invited, who never expected to break bread with you. In fact, Jesus shows us this type of dinner party in the very same chapter we hear from this morning, in the verses immediately following Herod's banquet. That is the feeding of the 5,000. Thousands of people have gathered by the seashore to listen to Jesus teach. They become hungry, and Jesus miraculously provides a meal of fish and bread for them all, with baskets of food left over. These people had hoped to learn something from Jesus, but never expected that he would feed them too. In the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus says, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Invite the people who do not expect to be invited. Last month, we had our annual parish barbecue here at Grace Church following the 10 a.m. service. We gathered together to share the joy of each other's company and some wonderfully greasy cheeseburgers. We also opened the garden gates onto Westminster Street so that anyone walking past could come in and join us. And they did. And we, too, had food left over. I know that because there are about 30 frozen turkey burgers and as many buns in our kitchen freezer. Those people didn't begin their day expecting to join in a banquet on Westminster Street, but that's exactly what they did. Some of them were so thankful, they helped us empty the trash once it was over. Inviting those who don't expect to be invited is a good deed that transcends dinner parties and parish barbecues. Who in your life can you invite to a meal or a relationship or even simply a conversation who would not have expected it but will welcome it joyfully? This is at its root what church is for and what church is about. It is an invitation to come to a banquet where Jesus is the host. Often it is those who are most surprised to have been invited that are the most joyful.